Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. We're going to be joined by Dr. Rob Lindstedt here at about the 15-minute mark. We've got reports now, massive escalation, as there have been over 30 rockets fired from southern Lebanon into Israel. And we understand there are damages, even though they have the Iron Dome, some have gotten through. And this, of course, is occurring right as we have the pre-Passover going on. So we'll get an update from Rob Lindstedt. Again, this whole situation is escalating over there. They've got some internal conflict related to the judiciary reforms going on. And, of course, it's also being exploited greatly by the enemies of Israel. So that internal and external conflict, very much like we're experiencing here in America, right, my friends? Very much like we're experiencing here in America. But before we go to Rob Lindstedt, let me kind of pick up and finish up at least a little bit with what I was discussing yesterday. And that was, we were in the book of Nahum, and we were looking at the fact that in the book of Nahum, we see that there is the warning. There is the warning by God. He sends the prophet Nahum to Nineveh years and years, hundreds of years after Jonah. And he says, look, guys, you guys are going to be judged. You guys are going to be judged. And we see from the Gill commentary that the last king of Syria was a transvestite, a transgender. We looked at that yesterday. Sandalopoulos, the last, and at this time, the present king of the Assyrians, at the time of Nahum 3, verse 4, was very effeminate. He used to dress himself in women's clothes, imitate a woman's voice, and paint his face and even his whole body, and by other tricks and enticements of harlots, made himself more lascivious and behaved more lewdly than any harlot. So there you go. The Gill commentary goes on to say that the women there also, the Syrian women, would be harlots because they were obliged at least once in their life to lie with a stranger in the temple of Venus, whom the Assyrians call Milita. Now, this is interesting, again, as I said, because these are the various names for the same religious system coming out of Genesis 10 and 11. The Tower of Babel and the Assyrians were involved in this. Obviously, the occupants of Babylon took this Babylonian occult religion and spread it all over the world when God confused their language. Well, we know that Milita is Semiramis. Here, I'll show you for those watching by television and tell you by those watching by or listening by radio. Here we have the Thoris, and it states, Milita, Babylonian and Assyrian goddess of love and fertility and war, counterpart to the Phoenician Astarte. Now, again, all you got to do is start looking these names up, and you see they all go back to Semiramis, the queen of Babylon. Astarte, there we go. Counterpart to Ishtar, also called Ashtaroth, right? These are all names, by the way, the Ashtaroth that we see in the Bible, right? And this is from my book, The Coming Religious Reich, The history of the name Semiramis also adds a twist to our strange intermingling of pagan practices. In the Bible, she was also referred to as Ashtaroth. Other names include what? The Queen of Babylon, Venus, Aphrodite, Diana, Isis, Gaia, Mother Nature, Queen of Heaven, right? Here we are on the verge of Easter, right? Tomorrow's Good Friday. And I'll be taking off tomorrow, Good Friday. I haven't had any time off for weeks and weeks because we work on Saturday and Sundays because I get ready all day Sunday for my Sunday night service. And oftentimes on Saturday, I have to do all the administrative stuff that I don't get done during the week. So I am forced to work 7 days a week. And I'm not complaining. Other people have to do that too. But I need a day off and I need time to catch up on a lot of administrative stuff. So and the studios of ECY will be closed tomorrow, so it'll be a great time for me to not be here as well and get caught up on some stuff. But tomorrow's Good Friday. And then on Sunday, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And I don't call it Easter because Easter comes from Ishtar. Ishtar. Another name for the Queen of Heaven, for Semiramis, Ishtar. That's where we get the word Easter. Why do we have an Easter bunny and eggs for Easter? It has to do with the fertility god. By the way, many of these fertility gods in the Babylonian religion, their sexes were almost interchangeable. I mean, they go from being male to female, male to female, male. They're just almost interchangeable all the time. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of them. So there was apparently, for those involved in this religious system, there was temple prostitutes, there was harlotry, there was literal sexual spiritual harlotry, and there was transgenderism, as we now see. There, you know, this is not something that many people talk about because it's a history you have to really work hard to understand. You have to really dig hard. You have to go to some books outside the Bible that give history of what was going on at that time, which is fine. We just quote historical documents that give the background, the history of what was going on in those times. And it takes a lot of work to understand all these players and all the various names. And for most people, their eyes start rolling back in their head and they check out. But if they don't check out, if they stay with it and learn to process what I'm saying, so much of what's happening in our world will absolutely make sense as we move and head back toward what? The mother of harlots, Babylon, Revelation 17. That's what's coming. Now look, this all did begin right there in Genesis chapter 10. Look at this. The sons of Ham were Cush. The sons of Ham were Cush. This is the son of Noah, Ham, begot Cush. Cush begot Nimrod. And who was Nimrod? Nimrod, well, he was becoming mighty on the earth, right? And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And by the way, the ancient Jewish historian Josephus says that one reason they built the Tower of Babel in their rebellion, because God said to disperse and procreate, they stayed put and consolidated. But they said, well, wait a minute, we're very aware of the global flood. I mean, here we are, the son of Noah, Ham, begots Cush. Cush begots Nimrod. So he's looking back and saying, I think I know what went on. My family has a history here of God judging the world. And if God chooses to send another flood, well, we'll be tall enough in the tower, he won't be able to get to us. That's what the ancient Jewish historian Josephus writes as to why they were building the tower. But they were in world rebellion, and they were seeking, apparently, a world government. And it was not God's time. But remember, Satan doesn't know when the end of days is, and so he's constantly looking for that world government, that battle to get his own kingdom. And so Genesis 10, we see that he not only began his kingdom, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, but what's it say? From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh. So would it be a shock to you that the Assyrians in Nineveh, founded by Nimrod, would be worshiping a Babylonian system. No, because Nimrod, and who's his wife? The queen of Babylon? Semiramis. This is the basis of this occultic religious system that continues to this day. And again, we said yesterday how violent the Assyrians had become. And this is a matter of documented history. But again, how many people are telling you about this transgenderism in Nineveh with the Assyrians, with their leader? Look at what Dr. Michael Milton writes. What does the Bible say about the idea of transgenderism? He said ancient pagan rituals would have included some aspects of transgender practice. More currently, social anarchists such as otherwise French social critic Michel Foucault argued that Christianity in particular has leveraged its cultural powers to repress human sexual expression. So again, who's to blame? Who's to blame for being too pure, for being Puritans, old school, old fashioned, out of date, suppressing sexual expression? The Christians, by Michel Foucault. Now, who is Michel Foucault? Michel Foucault was a French philosopher, one of the two founders of postmodern thought. The founders of postmodern thought included Friedrich Nietzsche, who called Christianity by all kinds of horrible names, the greatest curse mankind has ever known. That's what Friedrich Nietzsche, he's the one that coined the phrase, God is dead, right? We can smell his rotting corpse. That's what Nietzsche wrote. Nietzsche meant by that we're killing God in the conscience of man. Nietzsche, by the way, was very well admired by Adolf Hitler. I've told you that many times. It's said that Hitler gave the edited works of Nietzsche to Mussolini. Nietzsche used to sign his name, Nietzsche, the Antichrist, sometimes just the Antichrist, he would sign his name. He went crazy, spent the last 10 plus years of his life out of his mind. That was Friedrich Nietzsche, one of the founders of postmodern thought. The other founder of postmodern thought was French philosopher Michel Foucault, who also hated Christianity and said that it suppressed sexual expression and that genders was a human creation, a human construct, sexuality. Now, you have to understand, Michel Foucault was a homosexual. He was a deviant homosexual. He actually bragged about infecting his lovers with AIDS. Here's an article, The Worldviews of Destruction in the 20th Century, quoting David Noble. Michel Foucault, a major postmodern voice and lecturer at the University of California, Berkeley, was a Maoist, as in China, Mao. So he was a communist, a Maoist, a Marxist, a neo-Marxist, a homosexual who died of AIDS after infecting his lovers on the premise of, quote, inventing new pleasures beyond sex, sex as murder, end quote. That's what Michel Foucault wrote. Quote, inventing new pleasures beyond sex, sex as murder, end quote. Infecting his lovers with AIDS. Well, he himself died of AIDS. By the way, Michel Foucault has been quoted in European court rulings, and then turned around and quoted by those same European laws, rulings, quoted by our Supreme Court. Michel Foucault and Friedrich Nietzsche are two of the most read authors on American campus today. And Michel Foucault is one of the guys that said the whole idea of gender was a human construct of Christians. Well, where is this leading us today? Well, I'll show you real quickly. I cannot remember if I shared this with you guys on television or not. Let me scroll through some of this PowerPoint here. This is a video game that's now available. It came out January 13th, 2023, called Turfenstein. It's a game, and I know I've mentioned it on television several times, but it's now a video game that came out January 13, 2023, that involves the players being able to kill what they call gender fascists. And the gender fascists, folks, are Christians. And this has them being able to kill clergy dressed in their clerical robes with a cross. We'll be right back with Rob Lindstedt. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you have food insurance? I'm sure you have car insurance, life insurance, house insurance, medical insurance. But what about food insurance? We saw after COVID just how vulnerable our just-in-time inventory is. We saw what happened to basics like soups, meat, paper towels, toilet paper. This again showed the fragile nature of our just-in-time inventory. In fact, we've now, since COVID, seen, well, what appears to be an orchestrated attack on our food and food processing plants. And then, of course, now the war on poultry, chickens. Well, we know that many of these things the elite do, they plan. And they plan it for one reason, control. A few years ago, I did a whole series on how they plan to control us. Food, finances, firearms, foreign invasion, family health care. I listed multiple F's that they can use to control us. One of them, of course, is food and finances. We talk about those things a lot. In fact, I think it was about 2020, the Rockefeller Foundation put out a document called Reset the Table, where they're talking about nationalizing our food industry. That sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Well, food is a great way to control people. And if you would like to have your own food insurance, as I've had for my family since 2013, then we invite you to go to WVWTVstore.com and check out the freeze-dried food we offer. It's actually really good. Tastes really good. You can get everything from a two-week kit to a 72-hour test kit just to try it out. Then you can get a three-month kit, 6 months, year, 2 year. If you do a 2 year or more, we advise you to use the phone and Libby will cut you a deal on shipping. So you can order online at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. Or by calling 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. As I said, I've had emergency freeze-dried food for my family since 2013. I didn't mention it on the air until 2016. When I did, well, we got a lot of emails, texts, and phone calls. What'd you get? Where'd you get it? How do we get it? We thought, well, you know what? If our audience wants it, let's provide that service to our audience, and we'll use a reasonable profit in there to fund our broadcast network. And that's exactly what we've done. So I know you can purchase your emergency freeze-dried food from a lot of different sources. Thank you for purchasing it from us because we're able to provide you with a service, and it's a big part of our general operating budget to keep offering free radio shows and free TV shows. By the way, they're free to you, but not to us. We have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bill to push out free programming. So if you appreciate that fact, please consider ordering your emergency freeze-dried food from us at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com or by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. With all this happening in the world today, why would you not want your own food insurance? Thank you. All right, so before we go to Rob Lindstedt, let me just finish up this little segment because what I'm trying to get at here, folks, is the violence that we're seeing from the trans community and the hatred by these people against Christianity is exactly what I was pointing out from Romans 1 yesterday. People that have been given over, and I was giving you the four or five groups that you can count on persecuting Christians, and one of them is the LGBTQ crowd. They hate Christians. It's something at a spiritual level, and many of them having been given over. And now they have video games they can play, this Turfenstein. And here's the description of the game. If I gave this to you on the air the other day, I apologize. I sometimes confuse what I've said on radio and what I've said on television. Transistor 3D is a first-person shooter game with a retro style from the early 90s. Consider it a creative iteration of our mix of Wolfenstein 3D and Doom 1. These are other games I'm not aware of. But anyway, you'll be processing through seven levels or progressing through seven levels of increasing difficulty, if you guys want to show this, and complexity with a set of six classical weapons, arsenal, and five traditional enemies. The game offers LGBTQAI+, transgender, and feminist themes of gender-critical people. So gender-critical people. And what a post-war apocalyptic world would look like if gender fascist won. So that's what you are now if you stand for biblical morality. You're a gender fascist. This dystopian world, fascists have killed and imprisoned all transgender and queer people, subjecting them to harsh conversion therapy. That's a term often used, of course, for biblical counseling. imprisonment and death. You play as an escapee fleeing their detention center while you extract your revenge. This game begins to light the very real transphobic violence many transgender people face for just existing. And draw a comparison between gender critics and Nazi Germany. See a theme going on? And this is, again, what I've shown you guys on the air and on radio. It's over and over in the video game. You keep seeing characters pop up that are wearing full clerical garb with a cross on the right chest and one on the left chest. Killing Christians, folks. Killing Christians. Now, Benny Johnson tweets out the other day, March 27th, and he said, the Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary. The Denver shooter identified as trans. The Aberdeen shooter identified as trans. The Nashville shooter identified as trans. One thing is very clear. The modern trans movement is radicalizing activists into terrorists. Yeah, and last night, if you go to WVWTV.com, last night I interviewed Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman. Assassination Generation is the book he's written along with others. And I showed this video to him on the air, the trailer for this video game. He said, that's a simulator. That's a murder simulator. That is a murder simulator. And they're getting people comfortable with the idea of killing Christians or killing clergy. So, folks, you're going to see more of this. And the psychological projection will continue that the ones who are the oppressors are Christians. The ones who are violent, the domestic terrorists, are Christians. And what's very scary, folks, as I detailed last night in a very in-depth section on my website at WVWTV.com, I went into great detail last night, and I want to mention it very quickly before we go to Rob, and that is the Restrict Act. And all of you need to be calling your members of Congress, telling them to vote against the Restrict Act. The Restrict Act. This bill, folks, if it becomes law, could allow for a fine of $1 million and 20 years in prison for accessing information or a website via a VPN, a virtual private network, a website or content that is deemed to be a threat to national security. Now, we already know who's being deemed as a threat to national security. Conservatives, Christians, the MAGA crowd. Joe Biden has said that in his eerie red-lit speech, right? Well, the narrative has been set. And so when they decide that this website, my broadcast online, are a threat to national security, if anyone were to try to access it, if we kept the site going somewhere, say in the dark web or whatever, and someone were to access it through a VPN, the legislation says that they could be fined $1 million and go to jail for 20 years. Folks, they are laying the foundation for silencing all of us, and it's called the Restrict Act. And it's being pushed by Democrats and Republicans together, the Uniparty, under the guise, under the camouflage, that they're going to take down TikTok. They're going to take down a Chinese app. Well, I'm not a fan of the Chinese app TikTok and what it pushes out to America's kids or what data it might be collecting. But I don't think this legislation's about TikTok or China, because if it were, why would one of the sponsors be Arizona U.S. Senator Kelly, Mark Kelly? Why would he be one of the sponsors? Because everything I've learned from Trevor Loudon about Mark Kelly, he's a puppet of the CCP. He's a big promoter of the CCP. So why would he be sponsoring legislation to damage the CPP's ability in America with TikTok? I don't think that he would. I think that's all a smokescreen, and the Uniparty is working on this to shut down dissenting voices and declare us enemies of the state, a national threat. And by the way, it will be the intelligence community that makes these decisions. That's interesting. Wasn't it the intelligence community that tried to stop a duly elected president-elect from being sworn in, according to Colonel John Mills, who was there and saw it in the DOD? That was the FBI director and the CIA director at the time. Wasn't it the intelligence community that was involved in January 6th and FBI and FBI assets carrying out that and breaching the doors and pushing people through and carrying that out, the intelligence community? Hasn't it been the intelligence community that penetrated Twitter and Facebook and tries to shut down conservatives and Christians? Isn't it the FBI that is deemed as potential domestic terrorists, Christians and conservatives and constitutionalists? And mothers that show up at school board meetings concerned about face masking their children or critical race theory or LGBTQ radical trans agenda and perverted triple X books and pictures? Yeah. So would you be shocked that same deep state intelligence community is going to be the ones that to say that these people from this community, this group, patriots, Americans, constitutionalists, Christians, that what they're broadcasting on the new media is a threat to national security? They're already saying it, and they're the ones who will declassify it, and then it gets shut down. And if you get it going up on a dark web somewhere and people access it through a virtual VPN, virtual private network, $1 million fine, 20 years in prison. Wow. Joining me now is Rob Linstead. Dr. Linstead, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Rob, you reached out to me today with breaking news, and that is a massive escalation is being reported in Israel. What's happening this hour?
Well, this is a very important period of time in Israel because, as you know, Ramadan is going on. It's also Passover. And it's when there's thousands, literally thousands of pilgrims here because it's resurrection or Easter. And so with that kind of a, I'm going to say, a holiday setting, we shouldn't be surprised that the terrorist organizations find this a great opportunity to make their point. And so what is particularly alarming is the fact that here is missiles coming. Matter of fact, probably in the last 12 hours, over 100 missiles have been shot.
Wow.
Thankfully, most have been intercepted, and a few have even fallen back into to Lebanon, but a few have fallen into Israel. And so here's the gravity of the situation. Now, out of the north in Lebanon, we have not just Hezbollah as an enemy, but probably the PLO. Usually it's Hezbollah, but this is probably PLO activity. You go to the south and you have Gaza, and now you have Hamas firing at Israel. It'd be bad enough to have two enemies when you're so small. On the east, we have Russia and Iran, and who knows who's really fighting and firing missiles out of Syria, but they're coming out of Syria as well. And so here's Israel, a small state, the size of New Jersey, and they have three sides covered with enemies firing on them. I think it's also intensified because remember last night we were talking about the idea of the search for the ashes of the red heifer and the Ark of the Covenant. And there is a feeling in Israel that there is a cry to begin sacrifices again. And so whenever that cry comes, I believe that the Islamic factor is going to do everything they can not to allow that to happen, because if that happens, it does begin to ignite the fact and to solidify the fact that those sacrifices were done a long time ago as well on the Temple Mount. So, wow, what a focal point we've got. Here's what you could say in a word: the world's a mess.
It indeed is a mess. And what do you believe the Bible teaches in regards to massive global catastrophes being the stage being set for a one world leader? In other words, does the Bible give us any indication that when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, the world is just, well, a lot like it is right now? Or is it peaceful? Yeah. Is everything just humming along wonderfully?
No, I think one of the calls for him is to come in as someone who can solve problems. I believe that he's introduced in the Bible in Revelation chapter 6. And in Revelation chapter 6, it calls it the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24, parallel passage, it talks about how it's the beginning of sorrows. And it even lists judgments in Matthew, let's say verses 4 through 8. they correspond exactly to Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I mean, plague for plague. So it's these plagues that he has made a hero. How has he made a hero? Because he said, I've got a solution. We don't know that he ever really solves them, but he says he's got a solution. Reminds me of politicians today. When was the last time you seen a politician solve a problem? No, what they do is they campaign saying, we can solve it, we can solve it, we can solve it. But the truth is, no matter what happens, we don't really see a solution coming. And so I think this is exactly the background of which Satan prefers, because people are looking for something, they're desperate. And so when you're desperate, you give up your freedoms. You give up what you know you should be hanging on to, and you might even cling to a person that's a false hope, a false Christ. And I think it's a perfect setting for what the Bible describes is the end time event of the beginning of the tribulation.
Wow. Last night, you and I talked about something this audience, I think, would find very interesting. Temple Institute there in Israel, we've talked about it many times with you and Jimmy DeYoung and Andy Woods and others. The Temple Institute, many in our audience have probably been there when they've gone to Israel, and they see the menorah and they see the robes and so many of the instruments and different things that are needed for sacrificing and running the temple on display, on full display. But on their website, I was reading last night to the audience, and you responded to something very interesting. When I come back, I want to touch on that real quick, because I think our audience would also find that very interesting as well. My guest is Dr. Rob Lindstedt. His website is BibleTipNow.org. Bible T-I-P Now stands for Bible Truth and Prophecy. BibleTipNow.org. Again, he let me know right before we went on the air that there have been about 100 rockets shot over into Israel, fired from southern Lebanon. The Iron Dome is protecting some of it, but some have gotten through. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Are you concerned about the current financial state of not only America, but the world? Are you concerned about, well, the enslavement that can come to you through a digital currency where they can track every movement, every transaction, or turn you off? How about the merging of a digital economy with a social credit score? We saw through the COVID tyranny just how tyrannical our government can be to those who love liberty and freedom, to small business owners as well as large business owners, to the invasion of privacy. If you're looking for a way to secure your financial future, well, can I recommend you get the free packet of information from Wes Peters at Swiss America? We've been working with Swiss America for over 16 years as a sponsor of our radio shows, our TV shows, and our conferences, our free Worldview Weekend rallies we held all over America. Again, we've been working with them for over 16 years. In fact, Wes Peters shows up at our national conference at the Ozarks almost every year, and he sits and has meals and visits with many of our attendees who are now his clients. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? Well, I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And I believe you should call Swiss America right now and get their free, no-obligation packet of information. In fact, you don't even have to call. You can actually text Wes Peters right on his cell phone. Give him your name and mailing address and let him know you would like the free, no-obligation packet of information mentioned by Brandon House. You can text him at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. I'll give that again if you want to get a pen and piece of paper. Remember, when you get this packet of information, here's what I would recommend. Go through it. Write down all your questions. And then after you've thoroughly researched the information he sent you, then you can call him back up, set up a time and appointment to visit with him, and have all your questions answered. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. There is no template for every person. Every person is in a separate situation, right? So, my friends, do your homework and then ask a lot of questions. Once you're satisfied with all of your homework, then you can make a decision that is best for you. Again, it starts, I think, though, with getting that free packet of information. No obligation. Just simply text him your name and address. He'll send it on its way. And you'll get to learn the difference between bullion, freshly minted silver coins or gold coins, and what is known as numismatic, 1933 and older. You can learn about how to put gold in your IRA. These are questions, again, that you can get answered through that packet of information and conversations with Wes Peters at Swiss America. So again, just simply text him your name and address, 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585, and that free packet of information will be on its way. Thanks. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. And again, we're looking at rockets launched at Israel from Gaza during Passover feast. That's the headline over at the Jerusalem Post right now. We'll get a live update tonight from Aaron. Aaron from Israel will join us live tonight on the air. Joining me right now is Rob Lindstedt, Dr. Rob Lindstedt of Bible Tip Now. Last night, Dr. Lindstedt, I took the audience to the Israel, the Temple Institute's website. Very fascinating. They were talking about the fact that they have, they're very sure, the Israeli people are very sure they know where the Ark of the Covenant is. And then you added some very interesting information about the red heifer and the ashes of the red heifer. Inform this new listening audience today on what we discussed last night.
Okay, yes. Well, the search for the Ark of the Covenant actually began with the search for the ashes of the red heifer. And that search began because there were scrolls found in Qumran. In the Qumran caves, there's a number of them, about 30. And throughout the years, they found artifacts that we know are temple items and also scrolls. But probably the most impressive scroll was one called the Copper Scrolls of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And in there, it describes a location where there would be gold and silver bars. There would be a copy of the scroll just like you're reading. And there would be the cremated ashes of a red heifer. Why are those so important? Well, Numbers 19 describes the process by which a person is purified. And until that person is purified, for example, the Sanhedrin and the priesthood, then no sacrifice could be done. And that first red heifer was slaughtered in Numbers 19. The way to do it was described there. Tradition has carried it on. And many people believe that about 10 of those have been cremated through the ages. The last one, shortly before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Now, what was interesting was that the way they would do it is they would cremate the red cow. They would take the ashes, and before they cremated the cow, they would take the dung of the animal, mix it with clay, and build a pot called a kalil. And then they would scoop up the ashes, put them in that pot, and now to cleanse somebody, you go outside the city. The priest dips the tip of a rod into the ash, put that little bit of ash into a pot of water, stir it around, and so now, let's say you touch someone who's dead or you've got some other defilement. So the priest would inspect you. If you could be clean, he would sprinkle you with water. Now you're clean. You could go back in, but the priest was unclean and had to remain outside the city. This is why it's an incredible picture of Christ. Christ goes outside the city. He's not crucified inside the city. He's crucified outside the city. The one who's clean, Jesus, he died on the cross for my sins, and now I'm clean. I can go to heaven because of forgiveness through him. So it's the most graphic picture, and there's other ways it's a graphic picture of Christ. But now, when those ashes ran out, after several hundred years they would now cremate the second cow. When they did, on the burning carcass, they would place the first kalil with a few of the ashes that were remnants, and so that when they scooped up those ashes for the second pot, some of the original ash were there. That's why that pot of ash is so valuable that even the Arab people think that whoever has the ashes will control the world. The truth is that we know the Ark was not around for a number of years, even in the temple. But it's the most visible and it's the most beautiful of all the items in the temple. And so there's always been the search for this Ark. Matter of fact, I think I was telling you last night that I had the privilege of meeting a man. His name was Vindel Jones, and he was searching for the cremated ashes of the red heifer. in the Qumran caves. And as we became friends, well, Hollywood found out about this whole thing, and so they began to look at this as well. And they changed his name in the movie from Vindal Jones to Indiana Jones. They changed the search from ashes to the Ark of the Covenant. The vipers are real. There really are vipers in that cave. Believe me, you go there, and I've had a lot of people that are brave, because it also says this, that there's a passageway that you need to crawl on in your stomach to go and maybe look where there might be these cremated ashes or the Ark of the Covenant. And a lot of people said, I'll do that. And then you go down there and you start crawling in that little shaft, and it has what's called a combination code. Let's say there's 18 rocks there. If you take out rock number 18 and then 17 and then 16, it doesn't collapse. But if you take them out in the wrong order, the combination code collapses on you. And so it's a scary thing. Well, that has remained secure. Now there's new emphasis on finding this. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? Where are the ashes of the red heifer? No one can say for sure, but one good guess is in the caves in Qumran, which are located in between Israel and Jordan in a very controversial space. Excellent chance it could be there. Another place is under the Temple Mount, this mount that's being fought over right now. I mean, at this instant, the fighting has to do with control of the Temple Mount. That's why the rockets are firing. And there are some who think that it's buried in the passageways, because other artifacts from the temple we know are buried there. And as you go down the rabbi's tunnel, which every group I've had in the last, I'm going to say the last 50 trips, we go down there, and people come out of there and say, wow, I think I've just seen a history of Israel, because that's how incredible that temple is. Matter of fact, it even has a sign that says, to the place of the Holy of Holies. And you line up over the East Gate, and we can tell you where the ancient Holy of Holies was. The Arab community doesn't even want you down there, because it's too graphic to show Israeli occupation on the Temple Mount.
Wow. You want to take some calls with us?
Sure.
Let's do that. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. Dr. Rob Lindstedt, his website, BibleTIPNow.org. He's been to Israel 70 times. If you'd like to go to Israel with him, you'll find information about that at BibleTIPNow.org. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Before we go to the phone calls, and they're going to come rolling in here in just a second, you mentioned last night that if they find the ashes of the red heifer, they won't need the five red heifers they have now, that they're waiting to see if they will maintain the requirements per the scriptures. I think they're in Numbers chapter 19. Mm-hmm. And sacrifice them and use their ashes for purification. If they can find this jar or jug of mm-hmm. ashes from, you know, hundreds, thousands of years ago, that will be good enough to begin cleansing the temple or a temporary tabernacle now, right?
Yeah. Well, there's two different views on that. I'll give you both. One, the older rabbis really think that Numbers 19 says perpetual statute. So they think, really, to begin this properly, we need to find those ashes, because they contain something of the very ash that came from Moses, theoretically.
Right.
So that's what they're hoping for. The younger rabbis, I have to admit, say this. If we find a suitable red heifer, red heifers, purely, totally red heifer, because remember, if you have more than a couple of white hair, you're disqualified. And so they said, if God provides that and we cremate that, we can start the whole process again, and we'll just start from now. So there's two different points of view. And I'm friends with both sides. And so sometimes they try to draw me into this argument. I just say, I'm anxious for you to be satisfied, because they believe that they're welcoming the Messiah, because they think that if he could begin sacrificing again, it would encourage the Messiah, saying, look, We know that we need a sacrifice to God, and we'll welcome the Messiah. My fear is that rather than welcome the Messiah, maybe they're paving the way for an Antichrist, because the Bible says in Daniel 9:27 that he's going to offer to them a solution for how they can begin to sacrifice. And I think that solution is going to be who can occupy the Temple Mount. That's why I say Israel's the hour hand. We're watching to get close. Jerusalem's the minute hand, but the Temple Mount is the second hand. And whenever I see headlines that involve the Temple Mount and the items under the temple and surrounding the temple and the ownership of the temple, that's the real time clock of God for the land of Israel.
Wow. All right, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to your phone calls. Let me log into my call screener here. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do that. Oh, and by the way, while I'm logging in here, can you tell our audience if they do want to go on tour with you, will they find the information at BibleTIPNow.org?
Yes, they will. And so if they'll leave us their email address, we'll be able to get back with them. We have a tour schedule for May that's full. We have another one for August, I think, and it may be full. And we have one in November, and they could possibly get on that one. But, yes, there's nothing I love more than showing people the land of the Bible.
Excellent. Let's go to Solomon, line one from Arizona. Solomon, thanks for calling in.
Yes. Hi, Brent.
Hi.
My question is, about the Ark of Covenant. Is Ethiopians are claiming, it is, when the Israel destruction time and King Solomon, the Queen Sheba brought it, something like that. That's what they say, the history. Is it, I just want your guests to know if you have any comments on that.
Did you understand that, Rob?
Well, let me repeat the question to make sure I have it. Is it have to do with Solomon and the Ark of the Covenant to the Queen of Sheba?
Yeah, and so now it's Ethiopians are claiming it's the Ark of Covenant, one of the northern district, the church. It's
yeah.
There.
Okay. Well, yes, there is a story and it relates to when the Queen of Sheba comes to visit Solomon. And she's impressed the fact that Solomon is so wealthy and so wise. And so of course, we know that there was a love relationship there. And so according to the tradition, and you have to decide whether you're going to take it from the Jewish side or from the Queen of Sheba's side. But, she fell in love and together they have a baby. And so she gave Solomon a baby and he gave her the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know that I believe that story, to be honest. I think there are Ethiopians who have been converted to Christianity. We know that from Acts chapter 8. But the truth is, I don't think that Solomon ever felt that he had the authority to give away the Ark of the Covenant. And so I think what they've done, I think they've made an Ark of the Covenant that may be a model, because I know the work of Barb Carnute and others, that they talk about the traditions say it was carried there. But to be honest, no one has ever seen it. And so I guess I'm a little bit of a skeptic. I don't think the Ark of the Covenant ever made it to Ethiopia. And I don't think Solomon gave it away as a prize to the Queen of Sheba for having a baby.
All right, excellent. Wow, great question, great answer. Dick in Maryland, line two. Dick, thanks for calling in today, Dick.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking about this with Dr. Rob. Listen, I'm curious about the peace that could happen after the war that's underway, how that might end up, and if that could be the ultimate Revelation peace treaty. And if it was the peace treaty, wouldn't that not identify, and I think you've already talked about it, an emerging leader? And so just, again, this is all speculation for you guys to comment. China is the one that's pretty much calming the world down behind the scenes because they have so much power now. But there's a guy named MBS, and I'm wondering whether MBS couldn't be the vehicle, and one of the models for peace could be the Abrahamic Family Center, which has been open for a month now, and Jews are getting along with Christians, getting along with Mohammedans at the Abrahamic Family Center. So maybe you could just comment on the potential for peace based on the Abrahamic Family Center.
Okay, hold right there. Great question, Dick. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. 1-800-347-9829. Taking more of your calls. Get on board. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com. And comments by Dick there in Maryland. Rob, would you like to respond?
Yes, it is a great question. I think the model of peace and working together with Jews and Arabs and even so-called Protestants in the Abrahamic Center is a great one. Now, here's the thing. Notice this. They coexist, but is there really agreement? There's a difference between coexisting and agreement. And so they coexist, but there's not agreement. In other words, the real truth is, has doctrine changed? Well, maybe you could say there's a void of doctrine there. But I think that will be a kind of example that a peacemaker can use. I personally think he's going to be a Jew because he's going to be trusted by the Jews. And I look at the conflict going on there right now, a man by the name of Benvir. Wow. He's saying we must be allowed to do our prayers and our sacrifice on the Temple Mount. There's other people just as passionate to say you can't do that. Is there a person that could satisfy and bring them together? If so, he would be considered a mastermind of peace. And so I think they will use the Abrahamic thing as a model saying, look, it can be done. We can compromise or we can coexist. But the real truth is he's going to promise something. And once Israel sets down weapons and agrees to this, the Bible says that he double crosses them. And he says, no, you can't do that worship anymore. You can no longer worship the God of your fathers. He's going to blaspheme the name of God. And he's going to set his own image up to be worshiped. And so this is how this Antichrist will be revealed finally. But I don't think we know who he is at this time. The Bible doesn't mention who he is. I think the church will be gone before we actually know who he is. But we can make a lot of guesses.
Let's go to Anna, line three. Anna in Virginia, thanks for calling in today, Anna.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad I got through. Anyway, you know, I was thinking of the ashes of the red heifer and about how you can take ashes and clone, and then it kind of, the Jurassic World movie popped up. I mean, if they find these ashes, are they able in the technology today to create another heifer?
Oh, wow. Can they use the DNA out of the ashes? Could they obtain DNA out of the ashes, Dr. Rob?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be able to obtain DNA, and that's interesting that you would say that, because you know, a few years ago, the concern was this: how in the world do we get enough lambs ready to actually offer a sacrifice for all the Jews that will want to do that? And so, really, what they're doing is some DNA mathematical modeling, incredible, exciting math, incredible Bible. And so how would they do that? So remember Dolly, a sheep named Dolly,
yes,
made headlines.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dolly was their attempt to make an animal. And so what you would do, if you could get this so-called clone, maybe what you could do is you don't have to test one sheep out of 1,000, because they would be clones and DNA possibilities. So believe me when I tell you that the math behind some of these searches and the DNA research by it is second to none. That's how serious they are about getting the proper animals and getting the proper ashes.
Wow, that's excellent. Great question, Anna. Thank you. Shirley from Dallas, Texas. Shirley, thanks for calling in today, Shirley.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question. I saw on television, YouTube somewhere, a documentary about the Dome of the Rock and how actually it is not built upon the temple. And they were saying they built it on the wrong spot. They said the Roman garrison was right next to the temple. The Roman garrison was much, much larger than the temple site because obviously they had all these people, blah, 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 blah. And they said the Wailing Wall that people are, you know, genuflecting toward and everything, they said that's part of the Roman garrison. That if the Jews now want to rebuild the temple, all they've got to do is rebuild it on the correct site. And they utilize all kinds of information from the Bible, of course, but also how it was closer to the water source that was needed, and they used all these other ideas, technical places that would have to be utilized for the temple. And they said, mm-hmm. as their proof of, the temple is in the opposite direction, not the direction that everyone's assuming it was. So they said, oh, my gosh, I wish people would pay attention. And these were biographers and archaeologists and whatnot, mm-hmm. and they all had one voice, and they said, you know, almost laughingly, they built the Dome of the Rock in the wrong place, and that the Jewish people can still build their temple in the actual place. Have you heard anything about this?
Oh, yes, I have heard it, and I visited the site that they're talking about. It's called the City of David, and it's south of the Temple Mount. And I don't believe that that's correct. Here's why. Because the tradition says that if you line at the east gate, that lines right up to the Holy of Holies. And the City of David does not line up with the east gate at all. So that would eliminate it. Number two, I think you are correct. It's not under the Dome of the Rock. If you go north of the Dome of the Rock a few feet, there's a small cupola. It's called the Dome of the Spirits. And you know what? We can do whatever we want to around the Dome of the Rock. Well, not really whatever we want to, but we can do a lot of things around there. But if we get close to the Dome of the Spirits, and I've dedicated my grandchildren there, and when we begin to pray or somebody begins to open a Bible and to read, they'll dismiss you from there. And you ask them why, and they'll say, because you know that this is the place of the Holy of Holies. And so even the Arab police up there know that the Holy of Holies is located just north. I think there is plenty of room for the temple to be there. Matter of fact, it makes way better sense there, because if you go down to the City of David and then you look at the other palaces and the other things that are built there, they would have to coexist with the temple. And that's not true. The temple stood on its own place, there is a water source there. And we know where that water source is. We can locate it by looking at the passageways, the rabbi's tunnel and other places. We know where that source is. So I believe that it is in the correct place in terms of the Temple Mount, but I believe that it's north of the Dome of the Rock. That's research that's going on right now, and it's so exciting, so fascinating.
Wow. Well, this clearly rang a lot of bells. I'm sorry, Jerry from Tucson, Michael from Minnesota, Patricia from Illinois. I am so sorry that we couldn't get through to you today. We opened the phone lines earlier, and we still couldn't get them all in, Dr. Rob. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And be praying for the folks in Israel. We'll have a live update tonight. Live update tonight from Aaron in Israel, all right? Again, we're off tomorrow for Good Friday. Again, happy Resurrection Weekend. Stay tuned for Jim Schneider and Crosstalk. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House. Do you appreciate the free programming of worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com, and the 24/7 television stream? Well, did you know that many of the cameras that you're watching right now, we were able to buy those because you went to MyPillow.com and used the promo code WVW. We were able to do away with our old cameras and go to 4K cameras several years ago, cameras we've been using for like 12 plus years. we're able to get brand new 4K cameras because so many of you went to MyPillow.com and you used the promo code WVW. Yeah, it really matters that much. If you want to help us to continue to grow WVW Broadcast Network with our programming, our live programs, our documentaries, as well as through our technology that's needed to keep all of it going, then here's an opportunity for you to help yourself and help us at the same time. Please consider going to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WVW for deep savings and discounts. And every time you use that code, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep the WVW Broadcast Network, Worldview Radio, and WVW TV going. So please, buy your sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, robes, mattresses, mattress toppers, and more at MyPillow.com. But it's vital that you use the code WVW. When you use that code WVW, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep this 24/7 stream going and all the other programs that are on demand for free at WorldViewRadio.com and WVWTV.com. I cannot stress to you enough how vital it is that you support us and use that code. It does make a difference. So thank you for going to MyPillow.com and using that code WVW.